If you're searching for award-winning recipes or looking to strengthen your brewing skills, look no further than brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications titles include books on beer styles like session beers, wooden beer, and American sour beers. Take a deep dive into the science of beer with the Brewing Elements series, malt, yeast, water, and For the Love of Hops. Written by experts and master brewers, these books are only $19.95 at brewerspublications.com. That's brewerspublications.com. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I start a new feature on the show, the Hop Sampler. I brewed up three small batches of beer featuring a different hop in each. Steve and I will sample them, hence the name, Sampler, and give our impressions. Insert your impression joke here. This week, we start off with the Standby's Cascade, Cluster, and Mount Hood. We've used them a bunch, or our American brewers have used them a bunch, but you may find some surprises in today's show. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewers' logbooks, and our other Basic Brewing gear. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Basic Brewing, and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment there, they say that'll help new listeners to find us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. This past Friday, I posted an early release of an episode of Basic Brewing Video to financial subscribers. In this episode, which will release on Friday to the general public, we taste a Pilsner that I made using rice from the Instant Pot. Now, I've used corn in the past or flaked maize as an adjunct before, but not rice. How did it turn out? We'll watch the episode on Friday to see. And I'm trying something new. In the past, I've limited these early releases to legacy PayPal supporters and Patreon supporters of at least $5. But this time, I let the $2 Patreon supporters in on it, too. And I think I'm going to continue that. So if you're a $2 Patreon supporter, you'll be getting these video episodes days before the general public. And $5 supporters will still be getting access to exclusive behind-the-scenes videos that I've been posting. And the general public will not have access to those ever. So, or at least at this point, never. No plans to. So $5 supporters on Patreon are still getting premium stuff. So there's still an incentive to upgrade to that. And I greatly appreciate everybody's support. After I sent out that early release about the Rice Pilsner, David in Juneau, Alaska wrote, "Was this a pound of rice before it was cooked or a pound after with the water? Sounds like a great way to substitute for flaked rice, especially in Alaska where I have a hard time getting it." Well, great question, David. That pound of rice I used was dry weight. So I bought a one-pound bag of white rice and cooked it, and I didn't weigh it afterwards. I just added it to the mash. But it would be fun to see how much it weighed after absorbing the water, and I guess I could figure that out. I believe I used twice as much water by volume. So math whizzes out there, get to work. That's your word problem for the week. last week I told you about my robust porter that I'm working on, my small batch 2-gallon robust porter. My initial plan was to split the 2-gallon batch and add smoke flavor to half of it and leave the other half plain. Well, yesterday I was all ready to bottle, and I had everything sanitized and set up, and I took a gravity reading. And by the way, it went from 1080 to 1020. The hydrometer sample was delicious. The beer is big and chewy and roasty and a little bit boozy at around 8% alcohol by volume, ABV. It's way good. In fact, it was so roasty that I ditched my plan to add the smoke. I think that adding smoke flavor to that would either get lost in all that roastiness, or it might clash with what's already there. So, as a plan B, I went to Steve's brew shop and got some medium-toasted French oak spirals, and I broke one of those in half and put it into the fermenter instead. I'm very excited about that. You may remember in the previous episode, we tasted Steve's cherry mead, a big cherry mead that he used oak spirals in, and man, I was blown away. It was so good. So I'm going to let the oak work in there for a couple of weeks to see how it goes. I want to add just a bit of complexity to that beer. Maybe some, you know, sort of oaky vanilla flavors, maybe. So good. We got some time, so let's take a look into the mailbag. Kevin from Rural Hall, North Carolina, writes, "A friend of mine bought me a 15-gallon bourbon barrel. I've filled it with water, and it was leaking. I kept refilling it until eventually it stopped leaking. I plan on brewing a Russian Imperial Stout next month. In the meantime, I want to keep it filled so that it doesn't dry out. The problem is I don't have 15 gallons of whiskey to put in it. I'm afraid if I just leave water in it, it will get moldy or have bacteria in it." Kevin asks, "Is there any type of solution that you are aware of that I could keep in it until I can fill it with beer? I don't want to strip it of any flavor from the bourbon." Well, I punted this question down to Grant Chandler down at Lost 40 Brewing in Little Rock, and you've heard Grant on this program talking about their barrel program, making delicious beers. And Grant was kind enough to send a response. He said, "You can store the barrel full with a solution of 1 gram per liter citric acid and 0.1 grams per liter sodium metabisulfite, but personally, I do not recommend storing barrels full. It will indeed strip character from the barrel and may impart sulfur flavors to beer that may take longer than desired to age out." Grant says, "Also, the wood in contact with solution will remain mold-free, but I've found that the moist environment around the bung and underside of the top staves, which are often not directly touching solution, will get moldy nevertheless. So Grant says, "I recommend pouring a fifth or so of similar quality spirit into the barrel, purge with CO2, bung, and then swell with steam or water before filling." And Grant says, "Neither way is ideal, especially with smaller barrels, which are always subject to increased stability issues over larger sizes. Always best to fill barrels as soon as possible, if manageable." Well, thanks, Grant. And thanks to Kevin for the question. I need to get down to Little Rock to visit Lost 40 and to tour some of the other breweries down there. Stone's Throw Brewing is literally a stone's throw from the apartment where I used to live in Little Rock, and I have a feeling I would have spent a bunch of time down there if I'd still been living there. I'm really pumped because I'm planning to brew tomorrow with my electric brew-in-a-bag system from our sponsors and friends, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. The weather looks dicey. Thunderstorms are predicted. It is spring, after all. However, with my electric system, I can move inside. Dave fixed me up with enough power cable that I can brew in my garage. So no worries about propane fumes or a propane leak burning my house down. I'm brewing 100% Vienna malt pale ale using leftover hops from this week's episode and the next round of the hop sampler. So with Cascade, Cluster, and Mount Hood from this week, and then the next time, I'm doing Apollo, Calypso, and Experimental 07270. So all six of those hops after the boil. And I'm boiling for 30 minutes and adding a bittering charge at the beginning of that 30-minute boil with EKG just to make sure I've got that baseline bitterness. Anyway, the Warthog controller that controls my system is really handy. It's got two modes, mash and boil, and I don't have to worry anymore about falling mash temperatures as I did before with a traditional brew in a bag or with a standard mash tun. And I can precisely dial in the power during the boil to get the boil level that I like. And when I'm done, everything packs away nicely into a corner of my basement. Electric brewing takes the pain out of propane, and High Gravity is the place to go for systems from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels with a variety of configurations and a variety of controllers to fit your needs. Check them out at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com and use the promo code EBC75BB to save $75 off your electric gear purchase. Highgravitybrew.com. Okay, Steve and I had a lot of fun with this concept this week. maybe too much fun. I don't know. I brewed three small batches of beer featuring Cascade, Cluster, and Mount Hood, and then I asked my wife, Susan, to conceal the identity of the bottles. So Steve and I got to taste these hops without any bias to see if we could pick them out and to see which ones we liked best. And we got pretty goofy along the way. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James, and welcome back to my store.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. I brought a tasty little experiment here. We were talking about hops. We were standing in front of one of your hop fridges the other day, and we were talking about hops. And I said it would be fun to do some sort of little series of experiments to get to know different kinds of hops and do some comparisons and learn some history and, you know, because I use like two kinds of hops. I use like Cascade and Fuggle. That's it. No, I branch out a little more than that. But you know, there are a lot of hops out there that I have no idea about. So I designed this little experiment and I enlisted you to help me.
Yep. So what we've got are three hop varieties. Mm-hmm. So we're going to sample a beer made with Cascade, with Cluster, and with Mount Hood today.
That's right. So let me outline the experiment here. These are 1 gallon batches. So what I did was I took 3 quarts or 3 liters of water, and then in each of these three batches I put 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract. And then I brought that to the boil, and just as it started to boil, I turned off the heat and then let it sit for 30 minutes while I added these hops. So right after I turned off the heat, in each of these batches, I added 1/2 ounce or 14 grams of each of these hops. So in one, I added 1/2 ounce of Cascade, 1/2 ounce of Cluster, and then the third, you get the idea. Now, we chose these three for a couple of reasons. These are fairly commonly used, first of all. And then also, they are around the same alpha acid percentage. So I wanted to get this kind of the same bitterness level. The Cascade has 6.3% alpha acid, the Cluster 6.6%, and the Mount Hood 5.6%. The original gravity of this beer was around 1060. And I don't think I think the final gravity was around 1010. I wrote down an ABV of 6.6, but I didn't write down the final gravity. So anyway, during that 30 minutes in that small batch, it went from 210 degrees Fahrenheit to 155 degrees. Fahrenheit, and I didn't look those up, the temperatures. So that was the, over the 30 minutes, that's how much it fell.
Okay.
And then right after that, I chilled and then pitched 3 grams of Safale USO5. So here before us, we have these three beers, and we've tasted them before I turned on the mic. And I was impressed again at how such a simple beer. You know, it's just light malt extract and hops, one kind of hop added, you know, at flame out, essentially. No boiling. It was just brought up to the boil. I was again, amazed at how drinkable and delicious these beers are.
Yeah, they really are. They're nice and light and bright. Mm-hmm. The flavor is very bright in them. They don't have any kind of vegetal character to them. I won't comment on the hops just at the moment, but the beers overall are just darn good. I mean, they almost, I would have almost said that they had a little bit of crystal in them if I didn't know better. They've got that kind of bright, kind of a spiciness that I think crystal brings to it, but they don't have any crystal in them. Mm-hmm. So they're nice. I mean, good job.
Thank you. That gave me time to sample the samples one more time. But that was just a small sample. It was just a junior sample. So,
that's
right. So Professor, take us through these hops. Which one should we start with first with the info?
Well, let's start with Cascade. So Cascade is a it's an aroma hop, though everybody uses it. Well, everybody. A lot of folks use it to bitter. I hate superlatives. It's that journalism degree. I just can't go there. Many people use Cascade. Many people are saying that they use Cascade as a bittering and or an aroma hop. It's been around since 1956.
Really?
It was cultivated in 1956, and it was released for consumption in 1972. It was an open pollination of Fuggle. According to Yakima Chief.
Oh, okay.
So a Fuggle seedling, I guess, program. Cascade's the most popular variety in craft brewing and is known for having a unique floral, spicy, and citrus character with balanced bittering potential. So it's described on the Yakima Chief website as medium, intense floral, citrus, and grapefruit notes or tones, and I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that it is the most popular hop that I sell. Every hop has its day, but Cascade always gets used.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in so many recipes, and for good reason.
And it was the hop that Jack McAuliffe, the founder of New Albion Brewing Company, back in California, the brewery that many argue started the craft beer revolution back in 1976. That was the hop that Jack could get less than a train car full. He said, you know, because most breweries were big, and so they bought their hops, you know, by the train car load. And so he would buy like one bale of Cascade hops, you know, at the harvest season, and it would last him like all year, I think he said. So that's you know, maybe the roots of where, you know, East or West Coast pale ales, American pale ales, that's where Cascade, that Cascade flavor and aroma came from, was Jack. And because of availability.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes serendipity is a good thing, meaning Cascade's what we had. Cascade attenuated everyone's palate, and that's why it's ensconced the way it is. Maybe if he had access to a truckload of, you know, Chinook or something, that's what we'd all be using. But so, yeah, cool.
And I didn't say that we're sampling these three samples blind. I had my wife Susan randomize these bottles, and they're all the same kind of bottle. And she put duct tape on the top of these of the caps, which is how they're identified. They'll, you know, we'll peel off the tape at the end of the process. So what hop is next?
We're going to move on to cluster.
The show usually ends up in a cluster in one way or the other.
Well, I know my store does. It's of the three, it's the only one described as a dual purpose hop. Hmm. So that it's at least officially described as a hop used for bittering and for aroma. It's one of the oldest hops in the United States. It's been cultivated commercially since the 1970s. It accounted for the majority of the country's hop acreage back then. The pedigree is unknown. However, it says a hybridization of imported varieties and indigenous male hops have been suggested. Cluster is an excellent dual-purpose hop and is often used in the reproduction of historical beer styles.
Hmm.
The aroma's specific aroma descriptors specific aroma descriptors include floral, earthy, and sweet fruit.
Oh. Huh.
And I don't have enough experience using this hop to have a comment about it, meaning
mm-hmm.
I kind of think I can pick out Cascade maybe, but I don't think I could pick out Cluster necessarily, though I would assume that over the the 40 or so years I've been drinking beer, I've drank a lot of Cluster because I've drank a lot of commercial beer.
Be Cluster's last stand.
Yes.
These beers, when I first tasted them, they all tasted pretty similar, but now that they're warming up, some differences are coming out. And you said that you were able to taste some differences right off, and I'm talking here to allow you to sample again. The beers are all light in color, and they all had similar head retention, and the head retention was big. So the bitterness, I think, was good in these. They're not, you know, it's a substantial bitterness. I think that I'll use this as a guide when hopping in the future. Mm-hmm. Doing this experiment, like, for instance, you know, trying to get around the 6% alpha acid level, you know, for half an ounce. I'll probably have to do some math to figure that out. And might have to go to the old HBU calculator, you know, the home brewing bitterness unit mm-hmm. calculation, even though adding them at the end of the boil, you know, will change that. But as long as I keep the same standard in the same experiment, I think it'd be fine. So Mount Hood.
Mount?
I don't know much about Mount Hood.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
you have a sealed envelope here. Mount Hood. What did Mrs. Hood do on her wedding night?
Mount. Mount Hood.
All right.
Here's your other envelope. Oh, great Karnak.
Cluster. What does this show usually end up being?
All right. We digress. Let's talk about Mount Hood.
Yeah.
That'll make Mrs. Hood's punter stand up. Okay. It was bred in 1983. Oh, God. And it was released by the USDA breeding program in 19... I'm just a child at heart. It was released in 1989 through a USDA program in Oregon. It's a triploid.
Mm-hmm.
Aromatype cultivar. Oh. And it's similar to Hallertauer, German Hallertauer, and German Hersbrucker. I expected horses to neigh. When the violin plays, you can know you're using the Hersbrucker.
No, it's Frau Brucker.
Frau Brucker. Why, thank you, doctor. It is tough.
Hey, boss, my boyfriend.
Not the hair. It is tolerant.
Send a gim.
Send a gim. We've lost our audience.
We've
now.
Only sipped like literally a couple of sips of it.
I know. This is really good stuff. It's tolerant to downy mildew with good pickability. it's of a medium size and compact canes.
What?
The cones are not the canes. The cones are... I'm just reading. Mount Hood is named after the famous Oregon volcano, Mount Hood.
Oh.
So there you go. The aroma is includes herbal, pungent, and spicy.
Oh,
I have used Mount Hood quite a bit, and I like to use Mount Hood in combo with Cascade. Yeah. And the two of them work very well together. And
yeah.
In fact, when someone comes in and they just want a generic American IPA, you know, they don't have a real thought about it necessarily. Just I want an American IPA. I almost always build that recipe with Cascade and Mount Hood.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't used Mount Hood much at all, I don't think. So I'm not familiar with it. And I haven't used Cluster very much. So Cascade is the one that I generally use, and so you would think that I would be familiar with it. Now, describe these three samples, 1, 2, and 3. What do you get from each? And then I'll copy your response and say, yes, that's what I get too.
Well, in 1 and 3, I think the hop presence is more subdued than in number 2. In other words, they're very similar. In fact, I have a hard time telling 1 and 3 apart. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I can really tell a difference between them, just to be honest about it. But they have a nice bittering note, but neither of them bring a lot of aroma to the party. They all the beers are nicely balanced and very drinkable. They're very lightly hopped in the way that I would expect a light American pale ale to be hopped, or even like a standard American lager. These are not hop bombs by any means, but in terms of the character, they're all actually quite similar, except number 2 is just bigger, mm-hmm. as it usually is.
See your doctor.
Your mileage may vary. But, okay, so I'm going to try to be a little more formal.
While you're doing that, I agree. 1 and 3 are very similar to me. Number 2, really, the hop character really jumps out. I get spicy and piney, and there's more of a hop aroma with it. And it's really, you know, the 1 and 3 to me are more kind of fruity. Mm-hmm. 3 may have a little bit more of a grapefruit aroma or a grapefruit flavor to me. But I may have to taste again. But 2 definitely stands out. You know, if this was a triangle test, I would say 2 is the different one, and 1 and 3 are the same or similar. So 2, yeah. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think number 2 is my favorite. Mm-hmm. It just has a little bit more backbone. I think that the bittering note is a little more pronounced. Mm. There's a longer finish to the beer in terms of the hop flavor to me. So that they're all pretty light at the front end. So when you first taste the beer, so whatever taste buds that's washing over, they all taste very similar. But number 2 seems like it has just a little bit more bittering. And so I get a little bit different sensation, and I kind of get it in the back of my throat a little bit. Mm. So perhaps just a tiny bit of that, the vomit factor, but a very tiny bit. And I'm sure that has to do with the hop levels and the, you know, extraction and all that. But it is a different hop, and so I think it makes the number 2 beer a little more complex to me. Huh. That's my take on it.
I agree. Yeah, there's just a whole lot more going on as far as the hop character in number 2. And it is delicious. And, here on all these late hop beers, I've been trying to go for more of the grapefruity, you know, mango-y, you know, tropical fruit kind of thing. But I like this. This is different. It's more, like I said, more piney, more spicy, and it just kind of jumps out in a nice way. Mm-hmm. Number 1, to me, has a little bit more, now that I'm tasting it, has a little bit more of a bite than number 3. Number 3 has kind of a softer character in my mind. Number 1 is more kind of, it's not a bitterness, it's more of a flavor component that I might have to take another sip to see.
Yeah, and you know, as I'm sitting here sipping on these beers, and I was just doing a 1 and 3 at the moment, they really remind me of the little hop hard candies.
Oh, yeah.
That flavor is really quite pronounced. I mean, it's that, you know, the beer is not sweet. I don't mean it's like gloppy sweet or under attenuated, but it's got that kind of nice, fresh, mm-hmm. it's almost like drinking a little hard candy mm-hmm. in a way.
Okay, so the question is, are you ready to guess which one you think is which?
I am, and I'm going to do like a 3-card Monty here, if you can hear these. Which one's under the acorn?
Follow the queen.
Okay, but let's just find out. Do you want to blind?
I want to guess.
Okay, let's guess.
I say number two is Mount Hood.
Okay, I'm going to say number two is Cascade.
Oh, interesting.
So,
and then I'm going to say number three is Cascade, and number one would be Cluster. So Cluster, Mount Hood, Cascade for me.
I'm going to go Cluster, Cascade, Mount Hood.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
All right. Number one.
This is totally
right. It's
for
just
fun.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
Know.
Number one, we both say is Cluster, right?
It's Mount Hood.
Well, there goes my system.
My bracket is dead. Better luck next year.
All right. Number two.
All right. This is the one that I kind of think I know, but
well, we know I'm wrong.
Oh, but let me just say before I reveal. According to the written literature,
Gospel according to Yakima Chief.
Yes. The only dual purpose hop in here is Cluster, right?
Well, when, yeah.
And
when,
that means that it should have more bitter. I mean, I know. See where I'm headed with that? All right. I just wanted to throw that out there. It's Cluster.
So we didn't. Neither one of us got.
We didn't
any
get
of
any
them
of them right. And Cascade's number three.
Oh no! Wait, I got number three right. I got Cascade right.
Okay.
Yeah, I said number three. I said number three was Cascade. So
that is very revealing to me, though. I mean, I have definitely learned something here.
Huh?
I've learned that I really like Cluster.
Yeah.
And that Cascade didn't bring as much to the party as I thought it did. Hmm. At least in this.
In this quantity
and brewing session, and that Cascade and Mount Hood taste almost exactly alike to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cluster was definitely the star of the show.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised.
Wow, me too. I'm gonna hit a button to send down the graffiti, just like on Britain's Got Talent.
What? I haven't seen that show.
Well, you got to watch Britain's Got Talent. You hear this thing, and then graffiti comes down.
Graffiti?
Not graffiti. What do they call that stuff? Not graffiti.
Confetti.
Confetti.
I was like, what the? What?
Well, graffiti can come down too, but it's a lot messier. Confetti.
You say graffiti, I say confetti. Let's Jeez. Call the whole thing off. I swear... We haven't even had
a
whole beer between us.
No.
We're just naturally this goofy.
This is crazy. I really, really thought that number two was Cascade. Mm. I drank it. I mean, from the first sip to the last sip, I thought, well, that's Cascade. That tastes like Cascade to me, which shows you what I know. But
well, to me, I associate Cascade with grapefruit, just grapefruit juice, you know, just grapefruit.
Yeah.
And so when I tasted the kind of spicy, piney thing going on with number two, the Cluster, I thought that was Mount Hood because I don't know why I thought it was Mount Hood because Mount Hood's a mountain, and mountains are piney. So,
that is very interesting. Now, of course, we are splitting some hairs here. Meaning these beers are all really very similar, except for number two.
Right. Right. Yeah, on first drink, when they were just as cold as, you know, I had them packed in ice. When they were very cold, they were very similar. But as they warmed up, number two jumped out as the oddball in a good way, in a delicious way.
Yeah, and it was our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the oldest hop.
Huh.
Well, so there you go. You owe me a Coke.
How about a beer?
Okay.
So the question is, what we need to, before I leave here, I need to go by one of the hop fridges, and we need to pick our next round.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you want to go for, but maybe we could do a New Zealand. So, but of course, we're trying to match alpha acids, though, so we may not be able to... preemptively say what we're going to do.
Yeah, and it's tricky because, you know, like if I tried to match the alpha acid level and added more of one hop than another, you know, then you would get theoretically more of the hop flavor out of that
right.
second hop, trying to match the bitterness level.
Ditto.
Or maybe we just say to heck with it and just go with half an ounce of, that the rule, just half an ounce in a 1 gallon batch. And I think I got a six pack in of each of these.
Hmm.
I got more at the house, but that 1 gallon batch, maybe I got seven. Oh, I have to look. Anyway,
well, they're darn tasty.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I think that maybe we'll do that. I think that rather than going through the math and trying to match the IBUs and all that stuff, and since the utilization of the, we're not boiling for an extended period of time, maybe the hop utilization or the isomerization of those alpha acids is so small, relatively speaking,
right.
that maybe the bitterness levels won't make that much of a difference. I guess we'll find out in the next round.
We'll find out. And also, I think we should talk about kind of what the goal is. If the goal is to understand them down to the level of a scientist, meaning it has this many IBUs, and well, maybe that's not the goal. Maybe the goal is, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that one.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the goal, and to get a sense of how the hops play in the beer and what they bring to the party, and maybe that's enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been fun, and these are delicious beers. So try it at home. This is a good way to experiment with different hops and find out what they're all about, mm-hmm. and we'll look for the next round, and we'll probably have time to do another one of these before June, before we take our month off in June for family vacations and HomebrewCon and such as that, because I brewed this on April 5th, and now this is April 23rd?
26th. Yep.
So, yeah, we'll have time. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve. We obviously really enjoyed that, and I hope you did too. The next round, as I said before, features Apollo, Calypso, and Experimental 07270. So looking forward to that. Those are higher alpha acid hops, and I'm going to use, I already brewed the batches. So same recipe, half an ounce of each of those hops. So it'll be interesting to see what the bitterness does. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com and just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. Sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. Get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. You can find our logbooks where you can track and log up to 50 batches of beer. Check all that out at basicbrewingshop.com, and you get free stickers when you order anything from the shop. And don't forget that you can join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voice, and we'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.